Praise the Lord. Y'all glad to be here today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence, Lord, for your will being done in this house, which we invite Holy Spirit to come and bring your will into this place and into each of our lives. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. You know what you want. You know what you've got. You've already got this figured out, Lord. We just yield to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just thank you for the music, and we want to be a sweet smell and a sweet sound as we worship and praise you this morning. Let your will be accomplished in that too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you created us for fellowship with you and that you've blessed us with all blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but, Lord, with blessings on this earth. And we give you praise for that. You're in control. And we thank you, Lord, that we're never out of control when you're in control. So we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As you know, today is our fellowship day. So we hope you'll stay around and have some lunch with us. Amen. And I think we're going to show a video of Jesse Duplantis. For those of you who may not know who Jesse Duplantis is, he is a minister of the gospel. He's an anointed man of God, and he is one who's been gifted with the gift of humor, too. His life experiences and the way he puts things will make you roll on the floor laughing. But he's got a message that is powerful. And so I trust you'll be blessed. I know you will be blessed. Don't forget, Wednesday night we have a service, 7 o'clock. If you're interested in music, we start at 6 o'clock and have our praise and worship practice. Then again at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And, of course, we always start at 10:30. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give God his tithes and our offerings this morning. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day that you've given us today. And we thank you for each and every person that's here today. We ask you to bless each of us. And we ask you to take this offering that we are about to receive and to multiply it so that we can be a continuing influence in this community and also in the world. We ask you to help us to receive your word today, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, then he'll take me by the hand and lead me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he'll take me by the hand and lead me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Father, we just look to you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. This is your time, and we are your people, Lord, and we look to you. I just, once again, I ask you, use me, Lord. It's your service, Lord. We surrender to you. I surrender to you. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to do what's pleasing in your eyes. So to that end, Lord, we just, again, we've yielded control. We have open minds and receptive hearts, Lord. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a testimony this morning? Don't overwhelm me now.
My son called and asked me to come and take care of one of the twins because Tanner's having surgery on Tuesday. And it's a hardship because I don't have hardly any time left to take off from work. Flights are expensive on such short notice, etc. And so I told him, of course, you know, how you turn your kid down. I said, of course. And then prayed, you know, please make this happen. So airfare was very reasonable. I won't say cheap, but reasonable. I could afford it. Work said certainly you can have 2 days of emergency leave to go take care of them. I mean, it's just all fallen into place.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and thanks. We rejoice with her. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know, the Bible says He knows what we have need of even before we ask. And He's there to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I rejoice. And we thank you, Lord, that Tanner is going to be just fine, Lord. He's in your hands. We just release him to you. We just say, Lord, you are the great physician. And so we thank you for guiding the physician's hands. We thank you for bringing about a miracle in Jesus' name. And at the end, Lord, you'll get glory throughout the whole operation and situation, Lord. Again, we prayed the prayer of faith. We know he's healed. We know your hand is on him, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to know that God doesn't just want physical restoration, but he wants complete restoration with his family and everything. Amen? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you don't, it's the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to know God's in control. And we're never out of control if he's in control. Hallelujah.
Turn in your Bible's first chapter of Proverbs. This is something that I picked up this week, and it was a very interesting situation. I was talking to a few people at the hospital. They were questioning a few things about what I was talking about in the Bible. And I said, there's something that I'd like to share with you. And I said, I want you to read when you get home. I said, I didn't have the Bible with me. I said, I want you to read the first chapter of Proverbs, starting at verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat of the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's a strong rebuke, but who's it to? It's to this country. Think about it. The simple ones. The ones that think they're so smart. The ones that think they've got all the wisdom and know how to run a country. What are they doing? They're turning their backs on God. None of them have the guts or the stamina or the intestinal fortitude, as they say, to stand up against the things that's going on. There are Christian men in the government that are afraid to speak up. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when they call for help? God's not going to be there. He just said right there in his word. It's time that the Christians stand up and speak loudly. You are the people that have got wisdom. If you've got the Lord in your heart, you have wisdom, knowledge, understanding. These are the things that are so necessary today in today's world. The young ones, Celine, you're just a young, you're young, but you are still, if you have the Lord in your heart, you have wisdom. And you can share it with others. You can give it to the children your age. You can even give it to the elder ones. There's no limit. There's no limit to where you can speak. It says in here, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. You know what? That's exactly where I am right now. And that's where you are. You have no reason to fear for what is coming. No reason at all. Because of your strength that the Lord has given you, because of the Holy Spirit in you, you now have strength, wisdom, the knowledge of the Word. It's beautiful, especially when you start using it. And that's what I was doing when I was in the hospital the other day, every day last week. But it's amazing how people are eager to hear the Word. The hospital that you work in there, Kathy, is just, it's amazing. What an amazing place. The people in that hospital are just amazing. That's the St. Anthony's Hospital in Lakewood. I'm impressed with those people. They have compassion, but they also have a lot of joy in their hearts. But then when you speak to them, they see you and it's amazing how they just seem to fold in or come in right into the same area that you're in, that you're thinking, you're wherever you're feeling. They seem to be able to grasp that feeling, and they know exactly how to say things and what to say. Well, there's a few that I have a lot of fun with. Like there's this one physicist. He's an intelligent, beautiful person. The people that work around him are the same way. But I know that there's people that I used to work with that they were electronic specialists. I mean, these guys were engineers. You could say hi to them, and they wouldn't know how to answer. But they were brilliant. They could speak. They can talk their language, but they cannot speak anything other than the electronics. They are amazing people. But this guy, he knows his business so well that he can relax and he can talk to anybody. That's the way we should be. That's the way the Christian should be. He should be able to stand up there any one of you should be able to stand up and say, you know, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Or how about asking them, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of him? And I'll tell you, you're going to have some people wondering, let's see, well, what do I think of Jesus? And they start to wonder. But, you know, all you got to do is just open their hearts. Be with them. Say, you know, a little while ago, I didn't know who he was. Just tell them anything so that you can break into their complacency or their thought pattern. And just say, hey, it's amazing what he does. And I talked to this one person the other day. And this one person had a sad-looking face. You know, looking very down. It was a patient. He's got some problems, heavy problems. And I told him, I said, there are other ways. There's help on the way. All you got to do is find it and ask for it. And he just looked at me, what are you talking about? And I says, God's in your control. Give him your heart, though. Let him know you. Just tell him that you want to talk to him. There are things that are going on in this world today. So many of us have the answer. This room is full of answers. You've all had your experiences with the Lord. Please, like they say, don't keep the faith. Spread it around. It is easy to do. There are hurting people out there. And the more people that I meet in that hospital, the more people I see, the more, and hey, it's not just the patients. It's not just the patients, right, Kathy? Right. I've seen so many others. Some of the people that, now you know some of the experiences I've had about the smoking and the lung cancer and this cancer and that, you know. I've had all these experiences. And it was amazing how it was so easy to open up to these people. It was so easy. Because they're hurting. All they want to do is hear some kind of hope. There's your hope. There is the basic of everything in this world. It's what hope do you have? Where does your hope come from? How many of you have hope in your hearts right now? Of course we do. We know what the hope in our future is going to be. We have a future, yes. How many days we don't know. But the hope we have is the future that's going to be out there in the promise, in the promises of God. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, folks. So much to be able to say, hey, I know how to help you. I know somewhere there's help. I know how to give you help and hope. Share it with them.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of it. There's one person that I know that I've heard a few times. And he said, you'll know who you are by your enemies. All right? Think about it. You'll know who you are by your enemies. If they are people of the world, then you're on the right side. Think about it. But if you're a friend of the world, then you've got a problem. Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Being a friend of the world and enjoying the things that are out there. Every time I hear about some of these people, what was it, 6 stabbings last week, last night or the night before?
Mm-hmm.
In one bar. Dear Lord. That's fun. that's a good place to go, huh? How can you be anywhere but want to be with Jesus? And, you know, if you're a friend of those people, and you're trying to be a friend of those people, then you have a problem. You better start saying, hey, there's a better way to live, and show them.
Amen.
Show them the hope that you've got, and give them the witness that you are. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I'm gonna kind of continue on that vein. You know, Scripture says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof the ways of death and hell. And let's just stay in Proverbs chapter. Well, first couple of chapters of Proverbs, but I want to read some of the parts that Harry didn't read, maybe up to verse 19, and then if we have time, we'll talk about some of the rest in 2 and 3. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. That's Proverbs chapter 1. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will attain, listen carefully, wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. To fear the Lord. Let's remember this. To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want knowledge, you want wisdom? Put your trust in God. Begin to fear the Lord. That means have respect for Him. Give Him place in your life. Put Him at the highest place in your life. Now we're going to talk about the world for just a minute or two. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father. I see the father standing there, reaching out, saying, son, daughter, family of God, or family, creation, I have the answers and I give them to you. I'll gladly share with you what I know. And isn't that what we do as human parents? As physical parents, isn't that what we want? We want to give the wisdom and the understanding and the insight and the discretions we have based on our experiences. For what reason? Not just so we can say, hey, you know, look at me, I'm pretty smart, but so we can pass on knowledge and wisdom to our children so they don't walk the same path as we walked. Right? I don't want to see my children go through what I went through. My life scripture is the one that says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I don't want you to suffer the same things. I don't want you to go. And that's the same thing as someone who stands here in this pulpit. If they're really got a heart after God and love the people and they're called to be where they're supposed to be, then that's going to reach out far beyond their own personal family, but it's going to reach into the family of God. You say amen. My son, hear the instruction of your father. And do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen carefully. There's benefit. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. Listen carefully. God's crying out. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. God says, this is the way, walk in it. But the world say, hey, we got the right way. Come and join us. You better run to the arms of the Lord if that's what you hear, because you're headed for trouble. We all know that. That's not, you know, supernatural revelation. That's just common sense that God gave us. If they say, come with us, lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly in the for the innocent without cause. Isn't that what you see going on? As Harry said, we've got people killing people in kids, killing kids in school. We've got people going to theaters and blowing, you know, just shooting people at random. And they think by legislating guns, and this is not a gun advocacy message, please understand that. You do what God tells you to do. And remember that God's the one who's your protector. Amen? Amen? He says that He has given His angels charge over you. That means they're watching over you. You have angels that are watching out for you. I can tell you countless times in my life when I know the hand of God was there, because the outcome of where I was headed wasn't good. And I probably wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the hand of God. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Can I tell you something? That's exactly what you're seeing in this world. From the very smallest city government to the very biggest federal government. They're going to put their ways out and they're going to make you follow them. That's not God. Isn't that interesting that God does not force His ways on us, but men will try to force their ways on other men? That's not God. That's not God. Thank you, Lord, that you're who you are, Savior and Lord. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down in a pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Here's God telling you, be careful. Keep your foot from their path. Don't cast your lot in with them. Now I know you all know that. But this is just an admonishment and an exhortation to keep your eyes on the Lord. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't care what man stands in what office. I don't care if it's the IRS. I don't care if it's the court system. I don't care if it's a police officer. I don't care if it's whatever it is. Doctors, I don't care. They are not in control. But they'll tell you they are, and they'll try to convince you they are. Well, I know what's best. You've got some wisdom. God's blessed you. He can use you. But it's not about you. And any wisdom you've got to do your job came from God to begin with, and you better be giving Him praise and glory. Amen? Hallelujah. For their feet run to evil, and they make their haste to shed blood. Surely in vain, listen carefully, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. It's going to come back on them. It's going to come back on them. God says, if you reject me, I'll reject you. If you acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. And I don't want to be in that place. Amen? And we all know in this place that the answer is God, not our government. And our government is not our provider. Your job is not your provider. It's God. It's God. Take no thought, Matthew 6. Take no thought. I got it covered. My God shall supply all of yours and my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, I get amazed that people are so blind because when they don't know the Lord. I mean, it's amazing to me. They can't see the forest for the trees. They can look in the mirror and can't even see the truth when they look at their own face. They think that, you know, bless his heart, Obama thinks that this thing he's trying to perpetrate and push on the world, it's already backfiring in his face. That's evident by some of the stories we've heard with some of the people that we do business with, like Hobby Lobby, Mardell's. Then all their great wisdom and all their, you know, the arrogance, I'm going to do it my way. Mm-hmm. Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so will your poverty come. You want wisdom, you want understanding? Harry said it. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You want to know what to do? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not called to be a politician, but I can tell you right now, God opened the door because God equips who He calls. I guarantee you, you or I, any one of you or I, could be a better politician or better in leadership than any one of these people, because the first place we run to is God. We don't have agendas other than the agenda of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. They want you to cast your lot in among them. Let us have one person. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil. They're running to destruction. They don't even know it. They don't even care. That's what's so amazing. But what I started to say is you can see the things that have happened, that the wisdom that they think they have are already causing calamity for some people. And what's keeping the economy in this government, in this country? It's the businesses. And in very much, many cases, if not more cases than ever, it's the small business that's really keeping this economy going. So you put all these things on there and start fining them for not paying for your health care plan that you say, oh, this is the way, this is the right thing, and you can't even see that what you're doing is destroying people. I call that what the Bible calls blind leaders of the blind. And the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, then they'll both fall in the ditch. You want to follow Obama? Go ahead. Follow Obama. But we'll be pulling you out of the ditch. The people of God will be pulling you out of the ditch. Amen? They make haste to shed blood. Their net is spread in vain. Listen carefully in verse 18. It says, they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly, and they don't even realize it's for their own lives. I didn't say it. It's right there. That's not my words. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Wisdom calls aloud in verse 20. We already read that. I'm not going to go back over that. Harry said that quite well. Did a good job. Let's go to verse chapter 2. Listen to what God's saying. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How many would rather have the knowledge of God than anything else? Because the Bible says they're unsearchable riches. They're more precious than gold or silver. And you'll find knowledge. You'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Say, that's me. Amen. And He is a shield. Listen carefully. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Saints are holy ones. You're a saint. Does anybody know that? Does anybody agree with that? You are saints. That's one who's given their life to the Lord and who's trying to live a holy life. That's what the Bible and what the translation means for saint. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil. For the man who speaks perverse things, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Can I tell you something? That's not just talking about a physical person. That's talking about the enemy and what he's trying to do. Remember that the tools the enemy uses, the weapons he uses, is deception, distraction, and fear. You remember that? Deception, distraction, and fear. Who forsakes the companion of her youth, forgets the covenant of her God. Covenant? They don't even know what a covenant is. How many here are in covenant with God? That's not something light. Most covenants were sealed with blood. And if one or the other broke the covenant, death was the answer. God esteems His word above His name, and He's not a liar. He said it, and He'll do it. And that's it, period. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away. Someday we're all going to get it right, hopefully. Those of us who already know, we just need to keep on keeping on. Amen? Hallelujah. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None go to her, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. God's showing you and telling you and I exactly what it means. If you follow Him, He says, if you keep My commandments, you keep My ways, you'll eat the good of the land. If you don't, you've just read what your portion is. I don't understand. Maybe that's because I've been a Christian for so long. I don't understand how anybody can think they've got wisdom without God. You may get an education. Man, I'm telling you, that's one thing these colleges are good for. I'm not speaking against colleges, but you better have your mind right when you go. Because I will tell you, the spirit that is in our schools today, including our so-called public schools that are really government schools now, is to deceive you, to trick you, and to bring you into the same path of destruction that they are. If you don't have a young one in school now, well, you know what it was when we were in school, even when I was in school. There are ideas out there that don't line up with God. And today, we've got people like Planned Parenthood wanting to give away free condoms. What I hear the voice of the Spirit saying and what I hear God crying out for is those who will stand up once again and say, no, I'm against this. This is not God's way and I will not have any part in it. And you know what? Can I just admonish you all? We all better be praying for the young people, especially our young people. All young people, but especially our young people when they go to these schools. A lot of those teachers aren't there to teach. They're there to give their indoctrination for what they believe. And that's not teaching our kids. So you better be strong. You better teach the right things. You better train up a child in the way that he should go so when he's old, he will not enter into the darkness and the deception that's in this world. Amen? Because there, I'm telling you, you want to see a good picture of the enemy running around as a lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour? Just look it out there right now, and you can see a vivid picture of what the enemy looks like, who's running around seeking those who he can devour. So we need to be praying for one another, for one another's children. Amen? And we need to be that beacon, not just that little light, but a beacon in this dark world. Amen? So people can see where to run to light. I recently signed up to get emails from Jay Sekulow on the ACLJ, which is the Christian entity of the ACLU. It's an entity like the ACLU, but it's Christian. They stand up for what's right and for what's moral and for what's God's law. And they fight the system. And they've won in many cases. They've won in many cases. Can I tell you, if you're looking carefully and if your mind is in the right place and your spiritual eyes are seeing in the Spirit, what you're finding is the place where there's the most oppression. You know what? Can I just tell you something? I see us becoming another China. Now, what do I mean by that? Pastor Bill, what are you saying when you say that? Why would you say that? Because the oppression that's in China is making it the most strong Christian nation on the face of this earth right now. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If you don't think it's true, you just check it out. Because the oppression is so great, it's driven the church underground, and the church is growing by leaps and bounds. God has always had a remnant, and I see the same thing happening. I don't care what man does to me, and I don't care what the government does here in the United States. I see God prevailing, and that's what the Word says. He's the winner because He's in control. It's His. Jesus, if you recall, we just mentioned this in a message not too long ago in the past couple weeks, that Jesus is the head of all principalities and powers. They think they're in charge, but we know He's in charge. Amen? And our lives are in control because He's in control and because we've allowed Him to be in control. Amen? Hallelujah. So we've got a lot to rejoice about. We've got a lot to thank God for. We've got to stop looking at the darkness and start looking at the light and the promises of God, because it'll change your perception. And you'll see differently than you've ever seen. And you'll have peace in the middle of that. Are you with me? You'll have peace in the middle of that. There's some folks out there who you say, they don't even know what peace is. They don't even know what it looks like. And we're supposed to walk in the peace, and not only the peace, but the rest of God. The rest of God. When God said, on the seventh day He rested, He rested. It was done. There was no anxiety. It was already done. Everything that He did was good, and He accomplished exactly what He intended to accomplish. And He rested. And so if that's the case, then we as believers, we need to stand up and we need to start entering into the rest of God, knowing that God has done everything and He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us power and authority. But don't rejoice at that. Rejoice that your name's written in the book of life. Why? Because you made the choice to follow Him and not the world. Amen? Can I tell you something? You want to know what I really believe? This is the truth. I believe that little lady sitting right there has got more wisdom than any politician in any office in our government. And if she'll serve God and she'll continue to live her life for God, I guarantee you, she'll far surpass all those people. And I believe that God can give her, if He's not already raising up, and I know He is raising up young people like her, to lead this country in the way of righteousness. And can I tell you what else? I think that's part of what God's about to do and what He is doing right now in 2013. I think we're entering into a place of jubilee. Jubilee. And again, as we talked about Wednesday night, possibly last Sunday, that God's in the process of doing things and blessing you in areas that you don't even have a clue. You haven't even got an inkling in your mind or your heart. God said, He said, your eye hasn't seen nor your ear heard, nor has it even entered into your heart the things that God has for those that love Him. And He's about to do things that you're not, and put you in places and do things for you that you're not qualified for. You didn't have a prayer of gaining that position. But because God is going to, as Joel Osteen put it, cross His hands. How many remember the story of Joseph when he was about to die? Jacob when he was about to die. And Joseph brought his two sons. And Joseph was going to pull a fast one. He wanted one son blessed over the other one. And I think it was the younger one. And what happened? And Joseph, Jacob did was he crossed his hands. A blind man. And yet, because of the Spirit of God in him, he did exactly what he needed to do. In the old times, the right hand was the one that carried the strength and power. Okay? I believe that. Now, I'm not arguing with that. But I'm telling you right now, I think you're about to enter into some jubilee. Because God's about to do things for you. It's just a matter of changing positions, is the way Joel put it. I wasn't able to put it in quite those words, but I knew something tremendous was coming. And what he was talking about is he went into a meeting, and he and his wife ended up being in the back, which is not a very desirable place for most folks. You know, you want to be right up in what's going on. But what happened is, and I don't even know what the meeting was about, if it was training or what it was, I don't know. All I know is within a few minutes after they got done, they were the first ones out. God can change your position just like that. Listen, folks. The first will be last, and the last will be first. That's God's design. So be ready. Be ready. And see. Stand still. And see the hand of God. Be still and know that He's God. And that's not just for one or two people. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are sitting in this room. We're talking about a blessing for you, because that's what God's about to do and what he's in the process of doing this very moment. Some of it's already coming to pass. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is out there. Keep your eyes on God and watch what happens. And the only thing you're going to be able to do is stand back with your hands raised and say, "Thank you, Lord. This is your doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes." I don't know what that means, Kathy. But I know it's going to blow your mind. And I know it's going to put you in a place you're going to stand back. If you will, like they say, bat your eyes like a frog in a Texas hailstorm and go, "How'd that happen? How'd that happen?" Ever seen a frog in a hailstorm? You know, I'm telling you, folks, you can take this to the bank. And the reason I know it's true is because men of God all over this country, I believe all over the world, are preaching the same thing. God is for us. He's not against us. He's for our good. So let's take the wisdom that's spoken of in Proverbs. Let's take the wisdom. And with our wisdom, let's get some understanding. And let's walk in the power of God. It's going to be far greater than you've ever seen or experienced. You take some of the greatest testimonies you've ever heard. I'll tell you the one that blows me away, the one Harry just told. A woman in a meeting. And all of a sudden, her clothes don't fit her anymore. I mean, just supernaturally, the weight's going away. Right there. There are people are watching it. How many remember the other story about the goiter or whatever it was on the man's neck? And he went to the meeting. And he said, "The first day, I'm healed." And all through the week, Christians, so-called Christians, ridiculed him. They mocked him. He told them, "I'm healed." And he wouldn't say anything else. "But you're not healed. We can see it." Uh-huh. And that final day when he walked in there, that thing was gone. And they didn't even recognize him. Why? Because he kept his profession, his confession. The profession of his faith. That's all he did. I think I mentioned to some of you Wednesday night that recently I was watching on one of the Christian programs, which most of you know I don't do that a whole lot. But anyway, I was watching this, and all of a sudden what the preacher was saying, and I don't remember who it was, I don't care. All I know is God did something in my spirit, and I went into the restroom for whatever reason, I said, "Lord, I received that." And you know something? I knew. More, not that I wasn't before, don't misunderstand me, but I knew that I'm healed. And not just one little thing, but everything. Everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness was right there. I received that, Lord. And I knew it was done. And you know what? After that, the overwhelming realization that God loves me. And I didn't just say it once. I knew. I said, "God, you really love me. You really love me." Again, it's not that I didn't know that. It's not that I wasn't aware of that, but I'm telling you, it was different. I can't explain that to you. It was different. It wasn't just something that I believed, but something that all of a sudden I knew. The manifestation had come. There's no question about God's love in my life, but this was different. And if you can wrap your head around that, then you'll get some kind of maybe even just a, even though it may be vague and kind of fuzzy to you right now, you can get a glimpse of what we're talking about when we talk about what God's about to do in this year. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you with this. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. And you know what? Although some people may not understand this when they try to use their intellect, there's not so many of us that He doesn't know each and every one of us. Personally, intimately. Now what He wants is for us to know Him intimately. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your actions or deeds are. God's love is, there's no requirements. There's no strings. He loves you because He loves you. He created you. And He created you for a reason. And He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't changed His mind. If nothing else today and you walk away with that knowledge, then you're going to go out of here with something to really be excited about. And if you meditate on that this week, I guarantee you, when you come back Wednesday or Sunday, you're going to be different than what you are right now. I know y'all are different. I know that. I see that. But you're going to be different than what you are right now. How many are up for that? Really? Praise the Lord. Celine, I believe God's got some tremendous things for you. I don't know what they are. You're an amazing young lady. And you're an amazing young lady to God. But if you stick with Him, if you keep your eyes on Him, and you'll stay away from the things that try to entice you, and run to Him when they come, I'm going to tell you something, lady. You're going to have influence that you never realized and potential you never realized you could have. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You can take it to the bank. And I pray that when that happens, I'm excited, in fact, when that happens, that I'm going to be able to see it. And that you're going to think back and remember the day that I said that to you, because I'm saying it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You're not just another young person out there, young lady. God's got His hand on your life. He loves you so much, you can't even imagine. And I want to tell you something. He's the only one out there, besides your parents and your grandparents, who care about you enough to protect you and do the right thing by you. There's nobody else. I've had friends that were my friends until I went and tattled on myself. We're playing ball one day. Maybe I told the story. Playing ball one day, out in front. This is a plastic bat and ball, you know, no harm. But when I hit that ball, it went up and broke a window on an apartment complex. The guy wanted to run. My so quote unquote so-called friend, he wanted to run, but it wasn't feeling good. Well, the story. But I went to him, to the lady, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I broke your window." I said, "I don't know if you're aware of this, but I broke a window on one of your apartments." And it got taken care of. Mike, my son Mike, you remember I told you the story too about how he was playing ball in the front yard and not in the front on the front street with a couple of boys from across the street, and he knew he wasn't supposed to do that. And even though he was afraid he was going to be in big trouble, he did the honorable and the right thing. He went and told the man who owned the truck of the mirror that he broke. And when I got home, he told me. Now, did he deserve to be in trouble for disobeying? Yes. But he didn't get in trouble. Instead, he got praised because he did the honorable and the right thing. And he told me. I went over and told that man. I said, "You know what? I understand I owe you for a mirror. I'm Michael's father, and I'm sorry he broke your mirror. If you just tell me what I owe you, I'll pay you and we'll get your mirror taken." He said, "You don't owe me anything." I said, "Sir, my son broke your window, your mirror." He said, "You don't owe me anything." I said, "Sir, I don't understand." He said, "The fact that your son would set that kind of an example for my children. You understand I'm giving credit to God? This is not to my credit. This is the credit to God. Doing the right thing that I've been taught to do. You understand? It's living what you bear, what you believe and what you teach and what you've been taught." And he said, "I'm glad that my sons have a friend like him who will do the right thing even though it's not comfortable." Recently, in the last couple days, my son told me about something that happened with little Michael, where he was scared to death he was going to get in trouble. But yet he went to his daddy. And because he did the right thing, there was grace and mercy there. So what I'm saying, Celine, is you do it God's way, and you're going to find. I could tell you another story about me. I was on a job one day, had a $5,000 piece of equipment that fell and broke. And my partner said, "Well, let's just pick it up and put it back, and we'll just act like nothing happened." No. I said, "I can't do it. Ray, I can't do it." My conscience won't let me do that. Called the boss. Then I called, then we picked, called the company. We took it to the company. And you know what happened? My boss didn't have to pay for that machine, and I didn't either. And I didn't lose my job, and I expected to lose my job over it. You know what they're going to do with that machine? I didn't know this. This is the hand of God, Celine. They were going to use it for scrap parts. They were going to scrap it out for parts. Exonerated by the hand of God. Don't try to tell me that wasn't God. If you will, the old saying, you're spitting in the wind. You try to tell me that because I know it was God. I know how the world operates, but I'm not in the world. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I can say this. You hear what I'm saying to you, sweetie? You remember one thing, no matter what happens in your life, God loves you no matter what. And even though it looks like everybody else in the world may be against you, you remember there's people like God. In fact, God is the most important one. There's people like your grandma and your grandpa and your mom and your dad and like the people here and like me who love you and we're there for you. And we're excited to be a part and to be behind you, to support you in whatever God has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Harry says amen. Wave of the hand. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here who needs prayer today for anything? I would ask you once again, as we do in this house, are all hearts clear? Are all hearts clear? Now's the time, and here's the place where you're safe. This is your sanctuary. This is where you're safe. No ridicule, no judgment, no pointing a finger. I ain't got time. I'm so busy pointing a finger at me that I ain't got time to point a finger at you. You hear what I'm saying? All hearts are clear then. Then, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the blessing and for the good things and the good thoughts that you have for each and every person in this house, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, they will come to pass. There's no doubt. There's no wonder. They will come to pass. As we keep our eyes on you and as we make our mind up to serve you and to bless you and to be intimate with you and you alone, Lord, you said, we'd seek you, all of these other things would be added to us. We'd eat the good of the land. Why? Because that's your way, your mercy and your grace abound to your people, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of every person here. I thank you for what's in your heart and mind for your people, your body, the church, Lord, not just right here, but your body, the church, the entire church, Lord. I thank you for what you're about to do and what you're already doing. The work's already begun, and you're about to move people into positions that they can't even imagine. That there's no way they could even comprehend. And they're going to be astounded. They're going to be amazed at what you've done. Areas there they never dreamed of because they didn't feel educated enough. They didn't feel qualified enough. They didn't feel worthy enough, Lord. You're about to do some things that are just far beyond, above and beyond what we could ask or think. For that I thank you now. Go with your people. Thank you that your countenance shines on them. They're blessed coming in and going out, Lord. We give you praise and thanks, Lord. We're proud. We're blessed. And we're happy to be your children, Lord. Your heirs, your sons and daughters. And we thank you again. Now, Father, as we go, as we enter into fellowship this afternoon, we thank you that your presence is here because you came with us. And now, Lord, we ask you to be in fellowship with us as we break bread, Lord. We sanctify the food. We give you praise and thanks for your provision, for providing our needs, and for meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Bless each one, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that today, because of the Holy Spirit, the people were touched and they grew and they have things to meditate that will bless them throughout this week. We give you glory, Lord. All who agree, say in Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.